A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 17th November 2020, Tuesday class. We shall continue with our sharing from this book, the Sutra of Innumerable Meaning. We are at page 20, chapter on the 10 merits. So as usual, before we start the class, we shall have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So we will off the light so that you can start your meditation immediately. Remember, relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then the last support is trust. But the first three is more important. Just relax body and mind completely. Then maintain awareness, just aware. Don't do anything else. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just maintain the awareness so that you can realize the true mind, the silent mind. Whatever arises, let it arise. Sankara, thinking, thought, mental hindrance or whatever, let it arise. It will slow down and it will finally cease. When it ceases, you will realize the true mind. You will experience all this happening. Then there is like a switch in the consciousness. The consciousness like suddenly become very quiet. And so when you experience that, that is a good start. Means you have managed to patiently allow the mind to settle down. And when the mind settles down, it becomes very quiet. Then there is just an awareness nature inside there. Stabilize that. Just maintain aware. But because you have a mundane mind that is trapped inside your body. So this mundane mind, they can actually arise thinking and thought process very fast. So when you are aware, you can see that movement. So meditation is to see that movement. But to see that movement, you have to have a stable mindfulness or awareness within. That's why the awareness nature need to be stabilized. So you just relax body and mind at ease and let the mind settle down, then maintain awareness to understand. Then whatever contact the mind make with the respective sense organ, it will arise the respective sense or consciousness. So just aware, finish. Aware, finish. Can be aware of tactile, aware of hearing, finish. The moment you aware, no need to do anything else. Just finish. Whether it's touch, tactile sensation, or smell, or taste. But when you're in a formal meditation posture, normally taste doesn't arise. But touch, tactile, yes. Smell also, yes. Sometimes the incense, or certain fragrance. And seeing, of course, is not likely, unless you meditate with your eye open. But hearing, yes. Hearing is very common. Then sankhara activity, the thought process, the arising of the thinking mind, the mundane mind. Learn to be aware of all these things. Then just aware, finish, aware, finish. That's how you meditate until your awareness becomes very stable. That is the training that you need to develop. Then that mind, which is very quiet, very still, is your meditative mind, is your true mind. So you use that to develop the observation, the mindfulness, the awareness, the understanding. And that is meditation. That's why meditation is a silent, choiceless awareness of the reality or whatever that arises within the form of mind. Through this observation, through this awareness, you can develop wisdom, you can insight into phenomena, you can awaken. We will continue from where we stop. Turn to page 20, chapter on the 10 merits. The sutra of infinite meaning or innumerable meaning comes from the home of all Buddhas, is home of all the Sammasambuddhas. And from there, it goes to the hearts of all sentient beings and abides wherever Bodhisattva practices. Means sentient beings, when they receive this sutra of infinite meaning, when they understand the teaching, they will become living Bodhisattvas. Its 10 great merits nurture all living beings. That's the reason why this chapter, they call it the 10 merits, and it's a very special teaching, because these are the merits that can nurture living beings, take living beings across, teach them the correct teaching so that they understand. The first thing is to plant the seed of Bodhi, Bodhicitta, the Bodhi mind, so that this Bodhi seed, if it's planted firmly, deeply, it will nurture, then it will blossom, it will flourish, it will grow. That's how cultivation starts. Buddhism, this Bodhi mind, they must arise. Without the Bodhi mind, the mind cannot search for Dhamma, because the Bodhi mind is the mind that seeks enlightenment. Bodhi. Bodhi is enlightenment. So I will now start on the 10 merits. The first merit is inconceivable. Why? As the source of the way, faith gives rise to merits and virtue. So this is very true. When we start, we need the spiritual faculty of sadha, faith. Then after that, you will develop the respective spiritual faculty. Sadha is very important, faith. Faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Through understanding how unique the Buddha is, how unique a being he is. He is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. Means at the time when the Sammasambuddha arise, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. So this understanding is very important. So when you have faith in him through understanding who he is, how unique a being he is, then this faith will be real, genuine. It will strengthen. And out of this faith, it will drive you to cultivate, where you see the importance of his teaching. And because of his perfection, his uniqueness, he can come out with this wonderful teaching, the Dhamma, the Buddha Dhamma. And it is this Buddha Dhamma that can awaken living beings, that can bring about transformation, can bring about the understanding of life, leading to the end of all suffering. So faith, when developed, it will drive you to cultivate, leading to virya. And when you diligently cultivate, virya will bring about the stability of mindfulness. Where the first thing to train our mind is to be mindful, leading to heedfulness. So when you have sati developed, your mind become different. You realize the true mind. You can be aware of many things. You are sensitive. You can understand many things. That's why sati is very important. For sati is life. Sati brings you back to your original nature, your true nature. Sati can develop a lot of understanding. Then when you stabilize this sati, it becomes samadhi, the fourth spiritual faculty. Then with sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, leading to wisdom, understanding. You can also insight into phenomena and awaken. So when the five spiritual faculties are there, they enable you to understand spiritual teaching. That's how the saying of the sutta comes about. Let me go back to the sutta, the notes. So it is mentioned, the first merit is inconceivable, because as the source of the way, faith gives rise to merits and virtue, which is very true, because from faith, the spiritual faculty, they fall into place. So faith is sadda. Sadda, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. When the spiritual faculties are there, you can understand spiritual teaching. And when you can understand spiritual teaching, you will develop true Dhamma merits and virtue. So this is how this first merit become inconceivable. This sutta can enable all bodhisattva who have not yet developed bodhicitta to develop bodhicitta. So this statement is very important. The sutta of innumerous meaning or infinite meaning can enable, here he put all bodhisattva, it should be potential bodhisattva, who has yet to develop the bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is the bodhi mind. So bodhi is enlightenment. Citta is mind, the bodhi mind, the seat of bodhi. So this bodhi mind, when you develop, you become a bodhisattva. Yeah, the first thing that the bodhisattva do is to plant the seed of bodhi, the bodhi mind, firmly, deeply, so that it can nurture, it can flourish, it can actually bring forth the causes and conditions for you to arise. Then you can take the vow and all those things. Okay, next page. Those without loving kindness can develop loving kindness. Those who are prone to killing can develop compassion, because for a person who kills, there is cruelty, there is anger, there is hatred, there is delusion, there is emotion. So the direct opposite wholesomeness is to develop compassion. When you are compassionate, you cannot kill, you cannot harm, you cannot do all those things. So to deal with cruelty, we need to develop the opposite wholesome state, which is compassion. Then we move on. For those who are jealous, you develop joy. Actually, envy and jealousy are the evil roots of hatred. Hatred. You develop joy is also one of the way, but the more important opposite wholesome mind state is love and compassion. When you have love and compassion and contentment, you cannot be jealous. You cannot develop the envy and the jealousy. So here they use the word joy is sympathetic joy. The four Brahma Vihara, one of them is sympathetic joy. So when you can rejoice in the wholesomeness of others, it can also help you to do away with envy and jealousy. Then the next one is those contaminated by craving should develop actually contentment. Contentment. Here, equanimity is a mind state that you either induce through a conditioned mind or after you have developed the wisdom. So this state of equanimity is like not easy to have, but contentment is easier. When you have contentment, you need not crave. You are contented with life, with what you are having. So there is no need to crave. So a better word would be contentment. Then the miserly and greedy. Miser is kiamsep. Kiamsep is stingy. So you must develop dana parami, dana parami, so that you are not stingy, you are not a miser, so that you can do away with your greed. In fact, the best way to overcome greed and selfishness is to cultivate dana parami, to rejoice in doing this dana parami, generosity. Be generous, be kind, be caring, be considerate, be virtuous. You can do this. You have Dhamma. You have wisdom. You are beautiful. That's why virtue is really the Dhamma way. Finally, when you cultivate and you have developed all the understanding, you transform and you become virtuous. Well, that is what enlightenment is all about. The enlightened being cannot have the evil roots. They will not be selfish. They will not be greedy. They will not have the greed, hatred, and delusion. So whatever they do is all wholesome, virtuous. That's the end of the day. You want to check whether you really progress or not. Look at your virtue. How much virtue do you have? You are more kind, more virtuous, more genuine, more sincere, more generous. You have Dhamma. Otherwise, you don't have Dhamma. That's like the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path factors are the sign of progress. Because Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation. When you cultivate and perfect yourself until this Noble Eightfold Path become a part of you. Then when you have the embodiment of this Noble Eightfold Path factor, you become beautiful. So this is a very good check. Then the next one is the arrogant or the proud. They should develop and uphold precept. Actually, this negative mind state of arrogant or very proud character is due to the ego. The ego. You must develop not only precept. Your precept is to restrain from committing evil, but it may not do away with your arrogance or what they call your character. Certain people have this character of arrogance. They are very proud. So the best way for these people to overcome it is to be simple, to be contented, to have Dhamma wisdom. Without Dhamma wisdom, the egoic mind will be there, and you cannot root out this, what they call mind state of arrogance. So here, instead of precepts alone, you should include developing the understanding of the Dhamma. Then the easily angered, this one is easy, must develop patience. So if you are very violent, very angry, very emotional, you must develop patience so that you can restrain yourself from getting angry. Then the indolent. Indolent means lazy. If you are lazy, you should develop diligence. Diligence is perseverance. Or they call, you put in the hard work, or virya, to drive you to cultivate. So you must cultivate diligence. Means never procrastinate, never to be lazy. Then the mentally scattered means the heedless, that thinks a lot, that don't have mindfulness and heedfulness. These people should develop a heart of samadhi. But for samadhi to arise, you must develop sati. When you stabilize sati, then only you become samadhi. Samadhi is a collected and unwavering mind. Okay, we move on. The next one is very straightforward. Those who are ignorant must develop wisdom. The next one is those not yet able to transform others means you are incapable of transforming others. Develop the will to transform them. This one is the aspiration, the determination. But to do this work, you not only need to have the will, you must also develop the Dhamma wisdom and understanding. Otherwise, with the will alone, it may not be sufficient. You cannot do the work. So you may have good intent. You may be very sincere, but you don't have the Dhamma. That's why you can't help or transform living beings. Therefore, those who commit the 10 evils, they should develop the will to cultivate the 10 good deeds. So the 10 evils, they are actions and speech and thought process that are evil. So in order to reverse all this, you have to cultivate the opposite 10 good deeds. So the 10 good deeds, I think they have classified it in the Theravada tradition differently. They have, I think three of them is at the thought level. Four of them is the speech level. Then another three is action. So that's how the 10 good deeds or the 10 evil come about. Then we look at this sutra in numerous meanings, see what they have to say here. Those who contrive develop an uncontriving mind. You know what is contrive or not? The meaning means you try to make a situation or create evil or negativity. So if you have such a mind, you should develop the uncontriving mind. This is the mental. Then those who retreat must develop a retreating mind. a non-retreating mind, when this one is funny, yeah? Retreat means what? You, instead of cultivating the Dhamma, you become heedless. Yeah. Go and what?
Hide.
No, not hide. No. Yeah, lah, put twisting lah, will fall backward your cultivation. your cultivation didn't fall backward. That's why the English translation sometimes very dangerous. What you mean is to retreat to somewhere, say, no, not that one. But this one, the Dhamma, that's why I want your mommy to read on the Mandarin. The Mandarin one, very accurate. Means your cultivation must not retreat. So this one for those who retreat from their cultivation. Retreat from their mind development or cultivation. They should develop a non-retreating mind. Then for those who have this one also same. You better read the Mandarin. You low, so. Yeah, so the English translation, you don't read the Mandarin, you cannot get the meaning. Qi develop, Wu Lou Xing. So this is a direct translation. low means like licking means your precept, you are not able to hold. You have all these bad habits, that's why you low. So you must develop a mind that doesn't have all these lick, means be sincere when you cultivate. Develop the faith. Do not allow all this to happen, especially keeping precept. You know, a lot of people, when they started developing the cultivation, those who are without the stability of faith and sincerity, they try to justify. They find the precepts, some of them are so difficult for them to keep, then they justify. They say, the Buddha say middle way, ma. So the fifth precept, drink a little bit, okay, ma. Then sometimes for entertainment, ma. So they continue to justify. So if you cultivate with this type of mentality, which is without the stability of faith and sincerity and perseverance, you cannot progress. You tend to do a lot of this style of what they call justification or procrastination, and you can never really progress along the path of Dhamma. So the Mandarin word is low, which is a very good word to actually project the meaning. But in English, I think what I explained to you is good enough. You must not be complacent. Then you must not take things for granted. You must not justify your action to suit yourself. All these are the subtle delusion you cannot see that lead to downfall, that leads to deviation from the path. Then for those who have affliction, you must develop a mind to eliminate them. Actually, the Mandarin version is better. Read the Mandarin version. Come. The next one, just now, after low.
Which one?
After low, after lick. So the Mandarin one is more Correct. Yeah, it was a translation. Fun now. So affliction is not only suffering. Here they mean fun now, worry. You must develop a mind to eliminate all this. Good talk, right? Fun now. Fun now. Chi
chu mie xin.
Chu mie xin. Okay. So fun now actually. The word cover not only worry, affliction. Affliction. Then the second merit is also inconceivable. Second merit. So. The English, I read the English first. One Dhamma can give rise to thousand and million of meanings. This one I think okay, this one no need translate, this one can be understood. Okay, next one. Thousand and million can repeatedly give rise to more, thus continuing in this way on to infinite meaning. This one can be understood. It'll read in Mandarin, just repeat one and two. Okay. Then the next one is, by fully grasping one principle, we can grasp the 10,000 principles. This one I think okay, this one known in the Mandarin. Okay, thanks. So this one I think is more direct, easier for us to understand. So when you can fully grasp the one principle, is the Dhamma way, the principle of non-duality, you actually penetrate the rest. That's why he said when we can grasp one principle, we can grasp 10,000 principles. By taking a single teaching, we can take in 10,000 teaching. This is very true. So sometimes the sutta is only a single teaching, but within the sutta, there is a lot of very penetrative dhamma. That's why it can bring forth all the innumerable teachings. Then we diligently read and study each word and each line to understand the infinite, wondrous, and subtle principle. So this one is finally when you do it, when you diligently, the word is diligently, read and study each words and each line, you can actually understand the infinite, wondrous, and subtle principles. The third merit is also inconceivable because with it, we can attain freedom, transform living beings, others, and manifest the power of all vows. So this third merit is also very important. Although we have affliction, it is as if we have no affliction. This third merit, you must have wisdom to do it. Although we are still in the cycle of existence, birth and death, samsara, we have no fear. So this third merit is very wonderful. When you can develop this type of understanding, this type of mind, means you have this type of third merit. That's why it's also inconceivable. All the ten merits are very, very powerful, inconceivable. Though continuously fettered by the 108 grave illness, I think this grave illness must be what we call the insurance you are buying, critical illness, But now I think the medical term has more. So this 108, I don't know where the author got it. Maybe it's in the scripture, I don't know. We have compassion for sentient beings without focusing on ourselves. So this one is not easy for normal people to do, but if you are a true cultivator, you can. So here it must be coming. If it's not because of coming, you won't be continuously fettered by the 108 critical disease or illness. Despite having that, you also can have compassion for sentient beings without focusing on yourself, is worried about your sickness, your condition. So this one is not easy, unless you truly have the Dhamma. You have to be a great being, a bodhisattva, otherwise you can't. Then the next one is, we are like a master boatman whose body is ill. He has a steady boat. He can still help take across others. So this one is an analogy. If you are skillful in steering the boat, even though your body may be sick or ill or weak, but he has a steady boat, means the boat is well built, means he has the Dhamma, he has the understanding. He can still help others cross the ocean of samsara to realize the enlightenment, Nibbana, to the other shore. Then the fourth merit is also inconceivable. All Buddhas will protect us and keep us in their thought. Oh, this one is even more fantastic. If you can develop this fourth merit, it's really inconceivable. Because maybe all Buddhas will protect us. Means you develop affinity with all the Sammasambuddha. So because of that affinity, they will keep us in their thoughts. Which means this merit is about cultivating affinity with all the great beings. Although we have not yet delivered ourselves, we can deliver others. So you must have this mind states. All bodhisattvas are our companion on the path. Means they are like our Kayanamitas, Dhamma friends. So today I saw in my Kayamita website the one that Man Yuan sent out is very good. That one I was also quite surprised that somebody can create such a nice chart. It's based on the I think they call it the Nikayas. So this one is based on the Nigha Nikaya 31. This Nigha Nikaya 31. So I read to you, maybe it will stand out. This Nigha Nikaya 31 states, the friend who is a helpmate, the friend in happiness and woe, the friend who gives good counsel, the friend who sympathizes too. These four as friend, the wise behold and cherish them devotedly as does a mother her own child. So this is one of the sayings that the Buddha gave under that Tika Nikaya, the long discourse. Then the Buddha also mentioned about spiritual friends, importance of spiritual friends. So this is what our grouping is all about. We have been promoting all this. So at least now somebody wrote it down in a chat form, which is very good. So he said, you should reflect, my reflection. A spiritual friend or a kayamita is a true treasure beyond measure. Yeah, this is true. Yeah, it's one of the prerequisites for enlightenment. And spiritual friends support each other devotedly as they walk the path of Dhamma, the Noble Eightfold Path, most ardently. means they are sincere. If for company, you can find a wise and prudent friend or Dhamma friend who leads a good life, you should, overcoming all impediment, keep their company joyously and mindfully. And this is Dhammapada 328, also very good. So these are all about spiritual friends, Dhamma friends. Then the other reflection is, a spiritual friend or Dhamma friends shows care and metta. He wisely helps one to cross samsara, to realize the enlightenment. Then with heartfelt gratitude, one should cherish spiritual friends. Spiritual friends are with us in good times and hard times. So this one is very true. In the good companion of our wise Kanyamita, may we cultivate the Dhamma diligently to realize the enlightenment. So all these are very beautifully drawn up and put into a chart form, one page, just nice. So this one I find very interesting. That's why I was asking Man Yuan, where did she get it? I think somebody must have done it. So this is a good reminder. Okay, we move on. All bodhisattvas are our companion on the path. So this is beautiful. They are like your Dhamma friends. We are like the newborn prince of the king. Though very young and not yet able to manage the affair of the state, he is already respected by his ministers and citizens. So this one is very good analogy. The king and the queen loves him and regularly converse with him. So the fourth merit is also very, very beautiful, inconceivable. Then the fifth merit is also inconceivable, because if we can uphold this fifth merit, recite, transcribe, and never deviate from this sutra, we can extend our present resolve forever, always remain in accord with the sutta, and lead sentient being to joyfully believe and accept the teaching. Oh, this one is also inconceivable. Though we have not yet distanced ourselves from worldly matters, we will still be able to demonstrate the great Bodhi path. So this one is for the initial cultivator, the initial bodhisattva that walked the path of Bodhi. So this one, they haven't developed the understanding, the great understanding, the stable understanding to become great beings yet. Because for those who have developed the great understanding, they don't have to worry about worldly matter. This one is a, though we have not yet distanced ourselves from worldly matter, we are still under training. We will still be able to demonstrate the great Bodhi path. Means can show it to others. We are like a newborn dragon, only 7 days old, who can already gather clouds and bring down the rain. Oh, no better. The analogy is quite good. Then the sixth merit is also inconceivable, because it enables us to be free of the affliction of birth and death. So it means this one, you have developed the ability to understand the Dhamma and awaken the enlightenment in the here and the now. Means you have realized Nibbana. That's why it will enable us to be free of the affliction of birth and death. Then we can end all suffering and disaster, no difference from the Buddha in the Tathagata. This sixth merit is also really inconceivable. Though we cannot yet abide on the ground of stillness, means your mundane mind has not collapsed, we have the wisdom to eliminate delusion and grasp truth. So this is very true. We are like a prince who, though still young, can manage the affair of the state and lead the officials. Then the seventh merit is also inconceivable. With the amazing power, the six paramita, the Mahayana six paramita, the six perfection, we can spread love throughout the world. With the mind of great compassion, enable everyone to be free from all kinds of suffering or affliction. We can attain the non-arising patience and eradicate affliction. Means you have actually perfected yourself very well. We can transform sentient beings according to condition. Now this one, you can do that. You are quite advanced in your cultivation and ascend to the seventh ground. Correct. The Bodhisattva way has 10 grounds. So you can complete until the seventh ground, you are already very good. They say you won't fall back anymore. There is a word for it, I cannot remember. Something like you will not fall back anymore. We are like a fearless general who vanquishes the king's enemy. So this is just an analogy. You don't go and fight war. With the enemy eliminated, the king is delighted. This one is holy. Then the eighth merit is also inconceivable. With it, we can establish various skillful means to enable others to form aspiration. This one is another skill. You can have this. You will be very beautiful. Means you have that ability to actually develop skillful means to enable others to make the aspiration, take the vow and all those things. Once their faith has developed, we lead them to courageously advance. So this one means the great being has that ability. With mind unwavering, we lead them to strength. Should be strengthened, to strengthen their aspiration, their vows. If someone previously did not believe in the existence of a transgression or blessings, we can cultivate these sutras teaching to inspire their faith. Some may not believe in the law of karma and other things in doing good merits. But you have this ability to actually transform them. We will fortify our observation of precepts and our patience as we also cultivate the paramitas of giving or dana parami. So not only you can strengthen or fortify your observation of precepts, your patience, but you must also have dana parami. Actually, dana parami is very important. Because without dana parami, you come. You have to go through a lot of suffering, unnecessary suffering. We will attain unsurpassed Bodhi and purify Buddha land. This one is for those who can do that. So, to attain the unsurpassed Bodhi, you must be a great being. And purify Buddha land means the pure land tradition. The ninth merit is also inconceivable with the power of vows. This one, all the great beings they have. We can ascend to the ground of excellent wisdom. Means this is the ninth step of the 10th step of the Bodhisattva way. So this is the ground of excellent wisdom. That's why it's very, very powerful. Where you use the power of vows. This power of vows, I tell you, if you understand, it's very powerful. It can only happen after you have perfected the perfection of adhittana, aspiration, power of vows. aspiration and all those things, or determination. So all these are very unique cultivation and practices. Then the one that my nature come to understand is, because when I was very young, I was contemplating how come Kuan Yin can be so unique, so special, such an inconceivable being. Then later on, my nature came out with the answer, because my question was, how can Kuan Yin be everywhere? Well, my mother has great faith in Kuan Yin. She used to share with me story about how Kuan Yin actually helped her and all those things. Then I say, there are so many beings in this universe. Kuan Yin cannot be everywhere. Then later the understanding came, this is possible because he has perfected his vow, her vow. Her nature is not him coming. Her nature has this vow that is so powerful that he has invoked power, merits, wisdom, and perfection to have this vow that translates into nature's law. It has become a part of nature's law. Like Kuan Yin's, one of the special vow I remember is, he mentioned, he said, whoever who call upon her name or for how, like Om Memi Pami Pemi Hum, or Namo Kuan Yin Pusa, Kuan Yin Pusa, or whatever, or even the Da Pei Zhou, the Chan, the Xin Jing, or Mantra. If you do it sincerely and with faith, there will be a response from her nature according to the level of sincerity and all. So I started to understand, because it's part of nature's law, the vow has become so powerful. That's why it can happen. As long as there is sincerity, there is faith, you call upon her forehead or whatever, that thing will connect through. Then the nature, through the nature's law, will manifest. That's why a lot of people have shared with my nature about how inconceivable Kuan Yin's nature is. And many cultivators experience the help from Kuan Yin. My nature has very strong affinity with Kuan Yin. Even this life, Kuan Yin's nature saved this form of mind 3 times. If not, this for my mind would have been gone. Wouldn't be here teaching Dhamma, sharing with you. But because of that affinity, it really protects. That's why I taught you all in the yellow card. When you create affinity and develop strong affinity with all these gripping, pay your respect, have gratitude, then develop all this special affinity by chanting their name or whatever, then have gratitude, thank them for their blessing, protection, and guidance. So when you do this, their nature will always protect you, guide you, and bless you. So this aspiration is very important. That's why every time my nature comes, I will pay respect to Kuan Yin and thank her for her great blessing, protection, and guidance, life after life, without fail. And this is very important. We need their blessing, their protection. We are this form of mind need protection, and we need their guidance. Their guidance is very important. So this is also one of the important message that my nature share with the world this time, apart from the other type of right view aspiration that I teach you how to make the affirmation, the king of the bodhisattva vows together with all the miscellaneous vow and inspiration for all this right view and right understanding. So that every life you arise, you will have this understanding, even without sasana. Life after life, whenever you arise, whenever you choose to come or have to come, you must have this understanding. Then you must cultivate this type of affinity with all the great beings. So all this is very, very beautiful. We go back. That's why these nine merits, by nature, actually have. That's why with the power of vows, you must know how to use it at the time. You can ascend to the ground of excellent wisdom because of this vow. With the unhindered power of eloquence, we can attain purity. Our past karma and severe karmic obstruction will all be completely eliminated at once. This is very true. That's why I realize when I come, my nature is so different. Everything go my way. Then it's like I don't have problem at all. So all the coming obstruction like gone. Then I know how to teach you all to ask for forgiveness and make aspiration to break your coming obstruction. Because if coming obstruction is not broken, it's not easy to walk this way because it hinders you from progressing. There is an obstruction. It obstructs you from receiving truth, from receiving Dhamma, from understanding the teaching. Even though you can meet all these gravings, you may have the affinity, but because of that coming obstruction, where in the past you did certain very severe wrong action or wrong coming offense. So this coming offense becomes so severe, it becomes an obstruction. As like this coming obstruction, they will obstruct you and prevent you from receiving all this help and understanding. And it can really trap living being for very long. So to break karmic obstruction is the first thing you have to do. Then only the condition can arise for you to receive help, to receive the Dhamma, to receive the understanding of the teaching. Okay, we go on. We can magnificently achieve all paramita. This is very true. In sequence, enter the great practice of retaining and non-holding and gaining the power of diligence. This is very, very true. That's why this sutta is very powerful. So this one, my nature can recall because of that perfection, that aditana. Affirmation, the perfection of determination, affirmation, and vows. So with that, you can magnificently achieve all the perfection of the other parameters in sequence. Enter the great cultivation of retaining and upholding them and gaining the power of diligence. Means you will never fall back. You can never fall back. All the way up. That's why the cultivation become very interesting. It can enable sentient beings in extreme sufferings to achieve liberation. This one also very true. Because this way, when you know how to make vow, aspiration, and complete the perfection, you will have the understanding that I have given you. So that understanding actually is so powerful because you make that vow and aspiration for you to plant the seed of Bodhi and determine very strongly, invoking power of merits and blessing and wholesomeness, so that life after life, whenever you choose to come or you have to come, you will have this right view, this right understanding, and all this understanding of the miscellaneous vow to walk the path of Dhamma. And because of that, you don't have to worry about getting lost during non-sasana. Even non-sasana, you won't get lost. That is the beauty. That's why you will never fall. Otherwise, a lot of cultivators, bodhisattva, hari 11, sasana no more, they fall back. They wasted a lot of time roaming samsara again and hardly progress during that time. They have to wait till the next window. So this one is for sharing. Our goodness will pervade the land in the 10 directions. This is very true. As we engage in spiritual cultivation, according to the Dhamma, we attain the perfect fruition. This is very true. Then the last merit, maybe we keep for next session. The 10 merits is also inconceivable. Is it a lot? How much more to go? One more patient. Oh, okay, then we go through it. The 10 merits is also inconceivable because with it, though still in the state of ordinary being, we will be able to make great vows. This is very true. Next page. We will densely accumulate roots of goodness, which benefits everything, and teach the meaning of the Dhamma to emerge and nourish what is patched. If sentient beings are ill, we can give them Dhamma medicine with loving kindness. Our loving kindness can enfold all living beings. Our grace can nurture all sentient beings. And this is very true. We can gradually be seen ascending to the ground of the Dhamma cloud. This one is the analogy. And next one. Finale. All lies in the end passes away. We come together for a time, then we part. This is very true. The ancient pine tree gradually ages. Thus, it does not fear wind and rain. Life is endured with unlimited goodness, with the one Dhamma, infinite miracles are developing. Okay, good. Huh? Some more got?
First, you went to finale.
Oh, finale is still got. Okay. We stop at the 10. Okay, we stop at the number 10. Okay, we stop at the 10. Finally, we continue. Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah, correct, correct. Correct, 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 correct. Okay, sorry. So good. Now, 10:04. Okay, we stop here. Then we open up for meditation, reporting, and sharing. Adeline, now yes. I saw you. I remember you owe us one.
Just now I was worried the internet also the first half of the session completely cannot, you know, in
oh,
and out.
So slow.
I don't know why, yeah. And then now back to normal.
Luckily. Oh, good, good, good. So you can now report yeah. Meditation or share. Or
yeah, just now the finale was beautiful. Life,
Yeah.
Life, you know, in the end will pass away. What are we doing to our life? That really struck me. The cultivation is actually beautiful. We just now the 10 merits sharing. Actually cultivation is beautiful. It's not that hard as we think. More and more I feel that that's joy.
What you say is very true. It's not that difficult when you understand.
Before
you understand, you think, wow, not easy. But after you understand, actually it's very simple, very straightforward. That's why understanding is very important. You continue, Adeline.
And life turned out to be beautiful, you know. It's compared to, you know, first maybe 2/3 of my life, you know, previously how I spent, you know, compared to now, it's really a great difference.
Now it's
Dhamma is so beautiful.
It's now it's quality life. Truly living life. You are not existing through life. Earlier on is existing through life without knowing what is going on. Now is quality life through understanding, following the Dhamma way. And life is beautiful, wonderful, like you say. And you can appreciate because you go through both. Then now you come back with this understanding and you compare. That's why you say it's a great difference. It's really true. Very good sharing, Adeline. Continue.
We're chasing dreams, you know, chasing materialistic, you know.
Now you start to understand. That's why I gave up the materialistic success, because I got two choices when I graduated that time. I got two choices. I know my nature can do both. If I want to go the materialistic way, I can become very successful. But I choose the spiritual path. And yet I still make it in life. Very good.
And my life is like a roller coaster, as you know, right, brother?
Yeah. I think you and Carrot told me before.
If not because of the Dharma, if we don't go through that type of
You won't come to the Dharma.
You won't come to the Dharma.
You won't appreciate and you won't come to the Dharma because of what you go through. That's why you need that condition. So it's meant to be. I still remember in the early days how you and Garrett came to Champaka. Then you all started listening to my sharing. Then after that, continue until now. That's why it's beautiful.
Life is beautiful now. Even though it's simple, life becomes more and more simple. We don't want a lot of things already.
Correct. So now you are contented. You are simple. But you have understanding. You have joy.
Yes.
Then life becomes meaningful compared to last time. Last time, chasing. Then, like Garrett said, you all make it before. Then you lost everything.
Yeah.
Then make it again. Okay. Then all the chasing for what? Because finally, it's because the Dhamma is not there. That's why there's a vacuum. Then when the vacuum is being filled up, then you understand why. Then you become a different person. Then you cultivate and develop the important spiritual cultivation. And from there, you gain back your life. And your life become more meaningful, more beautiful.
And
there is more joy, happiness within the family unit. Within all your relationship and everything you do become different now. You can sacrifice, you can have all the virtue, you can have all the good things that people can never understand and appreciate. So these are beautiful. You can continue, Adeline.
I'll share the Dharma in daily life. This happened a few before the CMCO, I think this one happened to most of us. It's very common. I hope with this sharing, Pratio can input some teaching and then that will benefit.
Even help Kayami.
So this happened on a Saturday night. We went out for dinner at the uptown area. So the famous Hokkien Mee store in Uptown is always packed with people.
Oh, Uptown, I know. The three shop long one,
Two
or three shop long.
We didn't go there, we went to the next restaurant. That night it was like so lucky, we managed to find a car park right in front of Hokkien Mee store. So we was Gerald was saying, wow, so lucky today.
That was you there. Really need luck because there the park always
we never have a chance to park there in fact.
But so every time I go, most of the time my wife and me or my son last time, we always get a car park nearby.
So we went to the next store for dinner. So after that when we are about to leave, went into the car, there's a car double parked behind us.
Oh, okay.
Common, right?
Common, so, not easy to deal.
So the waiter of that restaurant quickly came out, the car number plate and went inside to announce, the owner. He went in, came out, nobody come out. So we just wait lah. And I was saying, should we press the horn? Because maybe the person is not in the restaurant, is maybe is a few shop
nearby, nearby buying things.
But Christy, very good. Christy said no, because those a lot of tables at the roadside, right?
Yeah.
At the roadside. Christy said no, you press the horn, people are concentrate on their eating. You know, you press the horn, you make people makes sense. And then after that, wait for a while, then two of them, Gerald and Christy, went down and then to see whether the owner left a number or not.
Uh-huh.
And the waiter also came out, and then the boss also came out. They went to announce again. Still nobody came out. So I was inside the car. I was actually watching my mind. I'm watching my mind. Yeah. Hey, very calm, very still.
I do. Really?
Yeah. So suddenly
that's how a cultivator become different from a normal people. Yeah, very good. Continue, yeah.
Then there's an understanding, okay, you know, this is just one of the phenomena arising.
Yeah.
That will cease, okay?
Correct.
It's a matter of time.
Correct. It will come to pass.
So just be patient, then. So I was actually watching my mind, keep watching my mind, see what are the emotions, you know. In and out, there's no... The driver never left the number at his dashboard. Okay. So everybody, like those after eating, they stand there, they talking, point. Everybody like watching a show like that.
Yeah.
Very long. Still nobody came out. Then some people came out from the door and say, "Hey, hopefully this is the one." But actually no. I'm still watching my mind. Yeah, it's still very calm, no agitated. Mm-hmm. And then it's like after a while, it's like everything come to a very slow motion. I can see people walking it out and then talking, pointing. I was like watching a show.
That is what specific phenomena awareness is all about. The awareness is aware of all this activity and movement, where you already have the patient, the Dhamma behind. Then you are not agitated because you have the understanding it will come to pass. Condition like that, things will like that, you need to have the understanding, the patient. Then you just have to understand that it will be resolved, but you have to do something. Do something means sometimes if you want to help out in the situation, if it's at night, very easy. You on your emergency light. Mm-hmm. And you on your emergency light. Then even if you want to horn, it's not so bad, but don't like continuous horn like that. Just one a few sound. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Then you see, wait for a response. If still don't have, you continue one or two sound. Mm-hmm. Because people need attention. So sometimes you do that, people know it's either the car block or something is happening. So people will come out and see. Then that person who is the owner, they will also be like alert somehow. So it can be resolved, not a problem. So for your case, what happened finally?
so actually, we did horn for a while, but still nobody came up. Mm. I think we were waited for almost more than 20 minutes.
Oh, that's
very
can
long,
take
right?
Time.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I was analyzing it's peaceful, nothing, you know.
That's very good.
I was looking at my mind. So if I were to switch the attention to my thoughts,
then it will draw you away.
I think the agitation of what will arise, you know. So if I move back to the stillness, the heart area
nothing will happen.
Nothing.
Yeah. Very still. Very good.
So from that, It took more than 20 minutes, and then finally the man came up. It's from that shop. It's from that Hokkien Mee store.
Yeah.
And he came out, wow, young man, and then the car is the Penang plate,
oh,
number plate.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so he keep apologizing, you know. So Gerald told him, you know, young man, you know that in KL, if you double park, it's a courtesy for you to put your phone number at the dashboard. So that,
yeah,
you know, actually, he's very lucky to meet a Buddhist like us.
Otherwise, may have problem. There may be a situation already.
We very easily get agitated in a situation like that. Right?
Uh-huh. Under normal circumstances, if it's somebody very violent or emotional, tell you, their headless thinking will like fly off the. They in Australia they say fly off the drivers. The car handle when they get angry. Very true. So it was resolved.
I learned that actually in every situation, if we don't put ourselves at that situation, I think you will be very peaceful. You won't angry. You won't get what. So this is the lesson that I learned. Yeah.
Very good. This is what the third way is all about.
Yeah.
The third way is aware. Stay there at the heart. Mm-hmm. Don't do anything. Then check. Then you realize when it's just aware, it's without thought. Without thought means no sankhara. No sankhara means no this, no that.
Mm-hmm.
No activity of mind to tell you the wrong thought. Without the wrong thought, you are always peaceful.
Mm.
What are wrong thoughts? Thought that condition your emotional negativity. Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, your unhappiness, your deep resentment, your anger, your emotion. Then it's also the thought that trigger the egoic mind. That make a person react, become negative. So you start to see all this and understand. You have to develop the stability of mindfulness to do that. Otherwise, you can't. That's why for you, you have the ability to stay at the heart and remain with the silence, with the stillness. Then when you are there, you check, you realize that it's very peaceful. But once the thought comes in, it will start to trigger the chain of reaction of wrong thought. You say, how can this guy be so selfish, inconsiderate? How can he just leave his car without leaving? Then it will proliferate.
Yeah.
It will become more and more. Then it will stir your emotion. Then you can be, like, if you don't have the Dhamma, you will be afflicted. Then you will become angry. Unhappy, then you will do a lot of very, very violent thing or not a normal thing. So this is what Dhamma is all about. That's why your example is very good. It can help you understand the cultivation. When you are in a situation in daily life, always check, why must I do that? Condition like that, things will be like that. Like the Buddha say, I only have to be mindful of what is happening, then I have to resolve this amicably. Amicably means through understanding the Dhamma way, applying Noble Eightfold Path. Then if I need to do something to alert people, I have to. Then you can also contemplate the other thing. Maybe this is coming. In the past, I must have parked my car and caused all this nonsense before. So now is the time for me to actually receive all this friction or repercussion of my past action. So when you consider all this, then you realize the law of nature is very fair. There is no such thing of why this person like that, why that person like that. Because in the past, when we did that in previous life, we didn't know. And we caused so much inconvenience to people. And we cause them to have so much emotion, anger, and unhappiness. So all this is a lesson in life. That's why we call it Dharma in daily life. Then you can check your cultivation, which you did, which is very good. And that is what Dharma practitioner is all about. When you are cultivator of the Dhamma, you do things differently. That's why you go into your car, you're silent. Then you develop the ability to calm yourself down. Then when you are able to be in that state, you check. Very peaceful, no agitation, very calm. But the problems still need to be resolved, understand? So you have to resolve it amicably. So this is the Dhamma way. This is very beautiful. That's why this sharing is very good. It can help many people.
Yeah.
So your way is one of the way to resolve it. The other one is normally if it's at night, you on the emergency light. Then after that, you horn one or two times, not too loud. Yeah? If no response, then wait for a few seconds, maybe 10 seconds. Then horn louder a bit, also a few sound. Then see how. Then maybe do it 3 times. It's still no response. And then you can go and ask around. Or if the shop owner willing to help you to ask, then they will go around and ask. Then just on the emergency light and be patient. Somehow it will come. They will come. Normally it's not really something very bad, because there was one incident I remember. We were having dinner actually. We drove somewhere. Then I think there is a car park actually, two car park. Then this lady was in a hurry. You know. He came, he squeezed into the middle, two car park also cannot park. Oh. Then he saw us actually at the back. You know. But I think she was in a hurry, I don't know what. She went down. She straight away went to the shop lot and went upstairs for quite long. Until our car cannot really go in. Then the four-wheel drive next to us, where my daughter was driving, the four-wheel drive next to us also cannot tahan that lady. You know. Also come out and say, what? By your driver? I said, never mind, it's okay. Then finally, we waited for her to come down and she also apologized. So not too long, that one, I think, 5 minutes. About 5 minutes. But really, if you use your thought to go and generate all these wrong thoughts, then you will say, "Ayo, how come so inconsiderate? There are two car park there, park nicely, lah, they only go." But the reality is she did that because of her reason of her own. And that is the condition. So it has to be. So you have to go through. Yeah. And sometimes it's because some people, they really forgot about the car. They're supposed to go out and do something, but a lot of these people are absent-minded. So instead of recalling he parked behind somebody's car, he dare to go upstairs, meet the friend, then sit with the friend and have a chat or don't know what, then didn't come down for quite a while. It can happen also. Well, we witnessed one case that time when I was in KL, when I was quite young that time. So that guy waited for half an hour plus. You know. Then finally, this guy came down from upstairs. He, of course, apologized. I forgot about it, very, very sorry. But that guy tell him off, scolded him like anything. So luckily, didn't end up fighting. But it can be very, very serious misunderstanding if you don't know how to resolve it amicably. Then always remember, never do that. Even if you want to park behind, ask somebody to sit inside. Like sometimes when there's no car park or what, I will tell my wife, hey, you sit inside the car, you don't follow me now. I go and buy, then I come back. So my wife sit inside the car. Like today we went out to buy, dabao my lunch. Then my wife saw the police. Actually, the police are very hardworking now. So yeah. Because she sat there, so the police didn't disturb her. But if you park illegal, section 17, or kena summon. A lot of people kena. So traffic rules sometimes try to abide. Don't try to assume. Then my daughter taught me something. Now they got the slang of parking. You can park using your phone, your apps. Anywhere you can just pay. It seems the app will know one. The traffic police also will know you have paid already. So this one is very convenient. So you find a car park, then you don't have parking ticket. You on the apps, then you can pay. So must learn how to use. We must follow technology. Okay, very good, Adeline. Thank you so much for your sharing. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, almost 10:30. I think we can end. So we will let you have the priority to nominate somebody in the next class. You will have the right to do that. Okay, your name is up there already. Ah, yes, I asked my daughter to rub off the other two. Okay, so thank you so much, Adeline. Thanks for the good sharing.